and we will pick up where we left off, beginning with the stipulated orders, item number 16.
We do still have a quorum, right, on the line?
Yes, we've got Sortoon, Charles,
yep.
Edwards, Lindsay,
yep. Okay, perfect.
Mason.
We are good. All right, staff report, number 16.
Chair, Salesa, Commissioners, Investigator Myers. Actually, items 16, 17, and 18 are stipulated final orders for three related executive session cases. So, your permission, I'll address them together.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Calvinese, Layla Thompson, and Aaron Ashdown are three of five commissioners for the Port of Port Orford. In August, the commission considered the investigative reports in these cases and made preliminary findings of two violations of ORS 192660 by each of the four commissioners. This related to an executive session in December 2019 where they failed to cite any statutory authority and then discuss litigation without an attorney present, so it would have been unauthorized. Rather than seeking a contested case hearing, these respondents have agreed to the stipulated final orders in your meeting books. These orders provide each will receive a letter of education. This is in accordance with the penalty matrix, and it's the same penalty provided in the stipulated final order for one of the others that was approved at the last meeting. We recommend the commission approve these stipulated final orders.
Thank you, Ms. Myers. Anybody have any questions in regard to items 16 through 18?
Mr. Chair, with regard to item 16 involving Tom Calvinese, Commissioner of the Port of Port Orford, I move approval of the stipulated final order as recommended by staff.
All right, so moved. Any discussion? Roll call vote.
Commissioner Sarkin.
Aye.
Commissioner Starr.
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards.
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum.
Aye.
Commissioner Lindsay.
Aye.
Commissioner Mason.
Aye.
Chair Sosa.
Aye.
Motion passed 7-0.
All right, number 17.
Mr. Chair, I will move approval of the stipulated final order as recommended by staff involving Layla Thompson, Commissioner of the Port of Orford, item 19-287.
So moved. Roll call vote.
Commissioner Mason.
Aye.
Commissioner Sarkin.
Aye.
Commissioner Starr.
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards.
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum.
Aye.
Commissioner Lindsay.
Aye.
Chair Sosa.
Aye.
Motion passed 7-0.
Number 18.
Mr. Chair, I will move approval of the staff recommendation on the stipulated final order involving Mr. Aaron Ashdown from the Port of Orford, item number 19-288.
All right, so moved. Roll call vote.
Commissioner Lindsay.
Aye.
Commissioner Mason.
Aye.
Commissioner Sotun.
Aye.
Commissioner Starr.
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards.
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Chair Sosa?
Aye.
Motion passed 7-0.
And item 19, Joanna Dillard, staff report.
Chair Sosa, commissioners. Joanna Dillard was a budget committee member for the City of North Bend. In May, the commission moved this matter to investigation to determine whether Ms. Dillard failed to announce her potential conflict of interest at budget committee meetings in each of 3 years. Conflict of interest arose because her husband was a city employee and the city did business with her company. Rather than completing the investigation, Ms. Dillard has agreed to the stipulated final order in your meeting books. This order provides that she will receive a letter of education. Shortly after the investigation was opened, the complainant brought to our attention that Ms. Dillard participated in another budget committee meeting where, again, she did not disclose a potential conflict of interest. Because this appeared to be an ongoing issue, we recommended to her that she take a webinar course specifically on conflicts of interest. She agreed to do so, and her certificate of completion is attached to the stipulated order in your meeting books. We are recommending that the commission approve this stipulated final order.
Thank you, Ms. Harris. Any questions? I will entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair, I will move approval of the staff recommended stipulated final order involving Ms. Joanna Dillard, item number 20-028.
So moved. Any discussion on the motion? Roll call vote.
Commissioner Fiskum.
Aye.
Commissioner Lindsay.
Aye.
Commissioner Mason.
Aye.
Commissioner Sartoon.
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Chair Sosa?
Aye.
Motion passed 7-0.
Okay, item 20, Jim Stouter, staff report.
Chair Sosa, commissioners. Item 20 is a stipulated final order for Jim Stouter, the former head of the Benton County Road Maintenance Division. The commission opened this case on its own motion based on a news article about the death of a Benton County road crew employee. The focus of the investigation was to determine whether Jim Stouter used his position with the county to secure a contract for lease of a skidder from his son, Charlie. By arranging for the lease of equipment from his son, Jim Stouter violated 244.040 sub 1 and 244.120 sub 1C. Rather than completing the investigation, Mr. Stouter has agreed to the stipulated final order that is in your meeting books. This provides that he will pay a civil penalty of $200, which is within the range provided in the penalty matrix, and we are recommending that the commission approve this stipulated final order.
Thank you, Ms. Myers. Any questions?
Mr. Chair, yes. Just a quick question for Ms. Myers. Can you summarize for me how the $200 amount was arrived at, if that's the fair question?
Penalty matrix, there were basically two violations, one of 244.040 and one of 120, conflict of interest and prohibited use of office. So that would be at most $10,000 penalty. It came out to only 3 points on the matrix, which is 1 to 20% of the maximum. There was no forfeiture because the son never actually received any payment for the skidder lease because things went south fast. And so it came out to, my math's not very good, but
1% of,
okay.
We ended up charging. I think it's 2% for each violation is what
right.
We ended up doing.
Right.
So it's at the lower end of that range. Like I say, it's a big range from 1 to 20%. But this was the first violation. He had not had problems in the past, and Mr. Stouter has other issues going on with the same issue here.
Other complaints before us.
No. These, you know, an employee was killed by this machine.
Yes.
And so
there are
a lot of things going on. Mr. Stouter, of course, cooperated with us and stuff. So, you know, it's really within the realm. We have to find somebody that, if we're going to look at like 20%, usually they've obtained some illegal funds, they've maybe taken some funds, or in this case, earned some funds illegally while they really didn't do that for relatives, the relative didn't get paid. So that's why it stayed lower.
Or perhaps not cooperated with
us. Not cooperated with us. And things like that will raise it up. But, you know, I kept this at the lower end of it
the case. I would add, this was somewhat of a one-time event. There was no information to indicate that he had previously done this or attempted to do it.
Yeah. It's an unfortunate incident that happened in Benton County, essentially. So.
All right. Thank you, Chris Griscom. Appreciate the question. And Ms. Myers, thank you for the information. Okay. Any further discussion?
Mr. Chair, if you're ready for a motion, I'll make one. I move that the commission accept the staff recommendation on the stipulated final order involving Mr. Jim Stouter, item 20-039 on our November 6th agenda.
So moved. Any discussion? Roll call vote.
Commissioner Edwards.
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum.
Aye.
Commissioner Lindsay.
Aye.
Commissioner Mason.
Aye.
Commissioner Sawtoon.
Aye.
Commissioner Stahl.
He's muted.
Commissioner Starr. Commissioner Starr.
Commissioner Starr, looks like you might be muted.
He's on there twice.
Unmuted. Yeah.
Commissioner Starr.
Oh.
Aye.
There we go. Thank you, Commissioner.
Chair Sessa.
Aye.
Motion passed, 7-0.
All right, very good. next one up is item 21, Rob Ordway.
I told you I'd be talking a lot. Chair Sosa, Commissioners, item 21 is a stipulated final order for Rob Ordway, Wheeler County Commissioner. In August, the Commission opened an investigation to determine whether the county court violated the executive session provisions at a series of meetings in the fall of 2019 and spring of 2020. The stipulated order in your meeting books provides that Mr. Ordway would receive a letter of education. This is in accord with the penalty matrix and matches the penalty for the other commissioners, and we recommend the commission approve this stipulated final order.
Thank you, Ms. Hart. Any questions?
Mr. Chair, I will move that we accept the staff recommendation regarding the stipulated final order for Mr. Rob Ordway, item number 20-097 on our November 6th agenda.
So moved. Any discussion? Roll call vote.
Commissioner Edwards.
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum.
Aye.
Commissioner Lindsay.
Aye.
Commissioner Mason.
Aye.
Commissioner Sawtoon.
Aye.
Commissioner Starr.
Aye.
Chair Sosa.
Aye.
Motion passed, 7-0.
All right, we now have items 22 through 29, all of which are the Marion County School District. Staff report.
Chair Sosa, Commissioners, this is Diane Gould. Ooh, for the commission.
Who are you?
So items 22 through 29 are stipulated final orders for the 8 directors of the board for the Silver Falls School District who participated in either 1 or 2 improperly held executive sessions. 7 of these directors are represented by attorney Brian Hungerford. The other director, Shelley Nealon, which is agenda item number 23, is represented by attorney Jossie Davidson, and her settlement contains an additional paragraph that she negotiated with the commission. On August 7th, the commission considered the preliminary review reports in these cases and found cause to initiate investigations. Rather than complete these investigations, each respondent wishes to settle their case for a letter of education, and they've signed the stipulated final orders, which are in your meeting book for approval.
And Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Just as a matter of curiosity, Ms. Gould, can you tell us what the additional paragraph is in Ms. Nealon's proposed stipulated final order? And as I say, that's mostly a matter of curiosity rather than necessarily pivotal. But.
Yes, it is. D, 3D, at the bottom, toward the bottom of page 96 in your meeting book.
Starting with the words that responded had no advanced knowledge,
right,
et cetera.
Right, the letters that were to be presented.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, thank you very much.
Any questions?
And just to be clear, that's because
of... I have a question really quickly, so I just want to make sure I understand the procedure here. Is it the investigator that negotiates the terms of the stipulated agreement, or is it somebody else that negotiates those terms?
Just to be clear, the investigator works with each one of the respondents, but they go through myself, and then they also go through DOJ's legal counsel before we come to you. So it kind of ends on my desk, but I don't get in the middle of the negotiations unless I'm needed inside of those. So, in this particular case, I want to point out the letters that we're talking about that was the problem in these executive sessions was on Ms. Deland.
Right.
And so there was letters presented in the executive session about her actions.
Right.
And so that's why she is separate from the other seven. Mm-hmm. So they were basically kind of going after her. And so she asked for this. I was okay with it. Again, it's just the respondent saying that she had no advance knowledge. I'm not saying that we investigated that, because like I said, we have not finished the investigation there. They've decided to settle this beforehand, but I'll acknowledge that she says she had no advance knowledge of those letters. So she basically got into those executive sessions and they were talking about her. So.
Okay. All right. Any additional questions?
Okay. And this is very common in, you know, government groups out there like this, where, you know, there's different factions inside the groups. The commission sees this quite often, where the factions inside of the governing body just don't agree with one another.
All right, then. Mr. Lindsay, thank you for the question. Appreciate that. Any additional questions?
And I'm sorry, Chair, just for Commissioner Lindsay's knowledge too, is we as a staff bring these recommendations for the stipulated final orders to the commission, but it is the commission's decision whether to agree or disagree, and there has been times in the past where the commission has asked the staff to go back and renegotiate these. So it is not final until there's an affirmative vote here of the commission. So you folks hold that kind of last decision to be made in these. So.
Thank you.
All right. Yes, Commissioner Fiskum.
Mr. Chair, I will move approval of the stipulated final order involving Mr. Tom Buchholz, item 20129 on our November 6th agenda.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Fiskum. Any discussion on the motion? Roll call vote.
Commissioner Starr.
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards.
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum.
Aye.
Commissioner Lindsay.
Aye.
Commissioner Mason.
Aye.
Commissioner Sartoon.
Aye.
Chair Sosa.
Aye.
Motion passed, 7-0.
Item 23.
Mr. Chair, I'll move approval of the stipulated final order involving Ms. Shelley Nealon, item number 20-130.
So moved. Roll call vote.
Commissioner Sartoon.
Aye.
Commissioner Starr.
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards.
Aye. Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum.
Aye.
Commissioner Lindsay.
Aye.
Commissioner Mason.
Aye.
Chair Sosa.
Aye.
Motion passed, 7-0.
Item 24.
Mr. Chair, I'll move approval of the stipulated final order involving Mr. Irvin Stedeli, item 20-131 on our November 6th agenda.
So moved. Roll call vote.
Commissioner Sartoon.
Aye.
Commissioner Starr.
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards.
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum.
Aye.
Commissioner Lindsay.
Aye.
Commissioner Mason.
Aye.
Chair Sosa.
Aye.
Motion passed, 7-0.
Item 25.
Mr. Chair, I'll move approval of the stipulated final order involving Ms. Jennifer Traeger, item 20-132 on the November 6th agenda.
So moved. Roll call vote.
Commissioner Mason.
Aye.
Commissioner Sartoon.
Aye.
Commissioner Starr.
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards.
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum.
Aye.
Commissioner Lindsay.
Aye.
Chair Sosa.
Aye.
Motion passed, 7-0.
Item 26.
Mr. Chair, I'll move approval of the stipulated final order involving Mr. Jonathan Edmonds, item number 20133 on our November 6th agenda.
So moved. Roll call vote.
Commissioner Lindsay.
Aye.
Commissioner Mason.
Aye.
Commissioner Sartoon.
Aye.
Commissioner Starr.
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards.
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum.
Aye.
Chair Sosa.
Aye.
Motion passed, 7-0.
Item 27.
Mr. Chair, I'll move approval of the stipulated final order involving Mr. Ronald Vailoff, item number 20-134 on the November 6th agenda.
So moved. Roll call vote.
Commissioner Fiskum.
Aye.
Commissioner Lindsay.
Aye.
Commissioner Mason.
Aye.
Commissioner Sartoon.
Aye.
Commissioner Starr.
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards.
Aye.
Chair Sosa.
Aye.
Motion passed, 7-0.
Item 28.
Mr. Chair, I'll move approval of the stipulated final order involving Mr. Timothy Roth, item number 20-135 on the November 6th agenda.
So moved. Roll call vote.
Commissioner Edwards.
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum.
Aye.
Commissioner Lindsay.
Aye.
Commissioner Mason.
Aye.
Commissioner Sartoon.
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Chair Sosa?
Aye.
Motion passed, 7-0.
And finally, item 29.
And Mr. Chair, I'll move approval of the stipulated final order involving Mr. Todd White, item number 20-136 on the November 6th agenda.
So moved. Roll call vote.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Lindsay?
Aye.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Commissioner Sartoon?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Chair Sosa?
Aye.
Motion passed, 7-0.
All right. Now, next up is item 30, Tara Kaiser. I understand that we have Ms. Kaiser with us. Is that correct?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, very good. Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning. We appreciate it. So this is the time for us to consider the stipulated final order that is before us in regard to your case. I understand that you have been in some negotiations with the Ethics Commission staff in regard to this. So we're going to first hear a report from the staff about the stipulated final order and what the recommendation is, and then you'll have an opportunity to say anything you'd like to add, and then we'll be voting as to whether to approve the stipulated final order, okay?
Good, thank you.
Thank you. Staff report.
Thank you. Chair Sosa, Commissioners, again, for the record, my name is Lisa Kristen. I'm an investigator with the Oregon Government Ethics Commission. Before you is the matter of Kara Kaiser. Kara, the number is 20-168 ELC. It's item 30 at page 123 in your meeting book. Ms. Kaiser was a member of the Salem City Council at the time of the incidents in question. A complaint filed by Sarah Owens of the Central Area Neighborhood Association alleged, in relevant part, that Ms. Kaiser failed to disclose conflict of interest at a meeting of the City Council. Specifically, complainant alleged that Ms. Kaiser failed to disclose that she owned property, the house occupied by Ms. Kaiser and her husband, across the street from preliminarily proposed multifamily and commercial development when the matter came before her as a City Councilor. The potential investor in the property, Development Northwest, or Dev Northwest for short, a nonprofit, was seeking a HUD-sponsored grant, a Housing and Urban Development federally sponsored grant, to develop the property into a mixed-use multifamily building as well as office space, and required council approval. After considering, and that is the incident at issue here, when Ms. Kaiser took action and discussed the matter at that city council meeting. After considering the preliminary review reports in this case, the commission voted to move the matter to investigation rather than complete the investigative phase. Ms. Kaiser wished to settle her case for a letter of education, which was in the range allowed under the penalty matrix. The stipulated final order is signed by the respondent and is in your meeting book for approval. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions from commissioners in regard to this? All right. Hearing none, Ms. Kaiser, this is your opportunity to add anything you'd like to say.
I just want to add very quickly that as far as the process for going through this process, I just want to give thanks to Ms. Kristen for her assistance with drafting the stipulated final order, and I agree with what is in that document. Thank you.
Thank you so much. All right. With that, then, I'll open it up for discussion or a motion.
Mr. Chair, I will move, if there's no comments from my colleagues, I will move to approve the stipulated final order involving Ms. Kara Kaiser from the City of Salem, item number 20-168 on our November 6th agenda.
All right, so moved. Any discussion on the motion? Roll call vote.
Commissioner Starr.
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards.
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum.
Aye.
Commissioner Lindsay.
Aye.
Commissioner Mason.
Aye.
Commissioner Sertoon.
Aye.
Chair Sosa.
Aye.
Motion passed, 7-0.
All right, Ms. Kaiser, thank you so much for joining us. It has been approved, and we hope you have a very nice day.
Thank you very much.
Okay, item 31, Lisa Clement.
31. Chair Sosa, Commissioners, this is Diane Gould with the Commission. Lisa Clements was a Clatsop County Commissioner and as such was required to file an annual Statement of Economic Interest with the Commission on or before April 15th of 2017 and 2018. Ms. Clements failed to timely file, thereby accruing civil penalties. She requested mitigation of the accrued penalties and the Commission waived the civil penalty for 2017 and issued a letter of education instead, and reduced the 2018 civil penalty to $200. However, that penalty was never paid by Ms. Clement. And this stipulated final order is to resolve that $200 unpaid civil penalty set by the commissioners with a four-month payment plan. The signed stipulated final order is in your meeting book for approval.
Thank you. Any questions? I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair, I'll move, if they're hearing no comments from my colleagues, I will move approval of the stipulated final order involving Ms. Lisa Clement, item 20-189 on the November 6th agenda.
All right, so moved.
So, Chair, again, for some education purposes, for Commissioner Lindsay, all civil penalties paid to the Oregon Government Ethics Commission are not used by the Oregon Government Ethics Commission. They actually go to the general fund. So just to be clear, this $200 would be, is sent to us, but it goes into the general fund. It does not go into our operating revenues. So.
Thank you. All right, unless there's any further discussion, roll call vote.
Commissioner Sertan.
Aye.
Commissioner Starr.
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards.
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Lindsay?
Aye.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Chair Sosa?
Aye.
Motion passed, 7-0.
All right, moving on to our default panel orders, item 32.
Chair Sosa, Commissioners, item 32 is a default final order for Rick Scholl, the mayor of the City of St. Helens. In May 2019, Mayor Scholl and the rest of the City Council participated in an executive session where the City Council discussed matters exceeding the scope of the provisions cited. At its June meeting, the Commission made preliminary findings of violation against Mr. Scholl. Following that meeting, we provided him, through his attorney at the time, with notice of the Commission action, a proposed stipulated order, notice of civil penalties, etc. Mr. Scholl did not request a hearing within the 21-day period. We reached out to his attorney, who informed us she had withdrawn. We reached out to Mr. Scholl directly to see if he was interested. Despite our efforts, he has not responded. The default final order that is in your meeting books provides that he will receive a letter of education. This is the same sanction that was provided to the other four City Council members who participated in the same meeting.
Thank you. Any questions?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
In light of what appears to be Mr. Scholl's failure to contact the Commission or respond to the Commission, is there any difference in how we ought to think about his situation in relation to the others on the St. Helens Council? Is there a difference in looking at his situation versus the other ones we looked at where they apparently cooperated with us and he is at least not communicating with us?
Yes, Director Burson.
So, and Amy, correct me if I'm wrong, and this is for Josh too. We've run into this in the past, but there is that kind of provision out there that, you know, it could be argued that we'd be treating him different for the same violations. I'm kind of with you, too. It's like I'd kind of like to see a civil penalty, and I kind of advocate for that, but I know I've been cautioned by our legal counsel to do that, because then if we did, because he will have appeal rights on this default final order, if he appealed that, he could actually argue in court that he's being treated differently than the other four that was at the same meeting, even though he hasn't cooperated. And there is that argument. So I see what you're saying. I kind of agree with it. But, you know, if we lost an argument like that, you know, so, and there was that was that one that they went into Portland, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So there was legal counsel, but it wasn't there. I mean, the room was full of lawyers. It was about a toxic waste.
What to do with this?
That the city would be used out into St. Helens. So that's why I agreed to this to be the same as the others, even though he didn't cooperate, because I think there's an expectation that we treat everybody the same inside that group.
Do our council have any comments on that to buttress the point of view? Ms. Alpaugh, Mr. Nasby?
I'll weigh in on it. I think that the executive session provisions and, you know, some technical violations, and this one really kind of was, you kind of have to pick your battles. I think you have the discretion, if you want to impose a different penalty here because he didn't cooperate, and that's something that the commission does think about, but do you really want to take that battle on? And as Director Burson says, and on appeal, they did the same thing. There's a different result. I think that if you had a, you know, an ethical violation as opposed to something that's kind of technical like this, and where everyone was getting a particular letter of education, which honestly seems pretty appropriate in this case, you might weigh it differently. But the bottom line is, you do have the discretion. Do you really want to exercise it here?
Mr. Chair, I got one more question. Sure. For context of perhaps not just for me, but Mr. Lindsay and others, can somebody, Mr. Burson or others, create the distinction for us again between a stipulated final order and a default final order?
Yeah, the difference is that on all the stipulated final orders that we just went through, the respondent has signed that. They have agreed to it. In fact, we even had one show up saying,
right,
I've agreed to this. I agree with everything that's in this. So in a default final order, they have not done that. And so we, after you folks have found preliminary findings of violation, if they don't appeal that, either we get a stip or we do a default final order to take that, and then they would have appeal rights of that default final order. But to move this thing forward, that's what we're doing, because in this case, they have not signed a stip. The other four signed stips,
right,
and you folks approved those stips.
Right.
So that's the difference, is basically it's the signature of the respondent.
And to add one more thing, and correct me if I'm wrong, Director Burson, I think we have had, as you say, very similar circumstances to this before with an executive session with several people who signed stipulations, and at the end of the day, the commission decided one or two people had not cooperated to still do the letter of education to be consistent. I think that's how you have handled it in the past.
We have. I mean, we're still looking at our matrix, and you know in the matrix that cooperation is a negative number for the points in there, but I think you, even not getting that negative number, he still ends up hitting our point total that is in that realm of a letter of education. So it didn't get him outside of that. You know, if you found somebody that had a lot of violations and didn't have cooperation, there was bigger points other places, and they're outside that realm, we could talk about it. And again, I still think, again, the commission has the discretion to
change this penalty or this default from what the others have had. We just have to be ready to argue that difference if we're taken to task in the courts. And what I'm telling you is I don't see anything in this case to make that argument.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, to prolong your agony.
No, you're fine. Go right ahead.
Director Burson, thank you for your comment on the matrix administrative rule. Is it fair to presume that is still under review to be rewritten in some way, shape, or form, and that in any event, the new one, once it's done for our consideration, would include, again, elements related to cooperation with the Commission's jurisdiction?
Well, I think when we rewrite the matrix, I still think that cooperation's in there. As investigators and as a staff here, we want to encourage people to cooperate with our staff. I mean, this staff does not, for the most part, travel and, you know, gather information. I mean, we rely on our respondents to cooperate and their representation to cooperate with us. And so I think that's still going to be there. But there's also always going to be inside of that rule that the commission's ability to go outside of the matrix. But again, inside that rule, it is talking about there needs to be some type of cause for you to do that. And, you know, we've had people, like you've seen SEIs over the 4 years, where they basically, you know, have some sarcastic comment on there that they're never going to do this. And, you know, and we give them, instead of giving them the minimum, we give them a little bit more. We've had people give us explanations on why they haven't done something, and the commission has deemed that that's a little higher penalty. And so, but we've had cause to do that. What I'm telling you here with Mr. Scholl is I can't find that, and that's why I'm here with the same that we've given the other four. But the discretion and the cooperation in the new rule, I believe, will still be there, Commissioner Fiskin.
Thank you. I appreciate the continued focus, all things considered, on developing a new rule for our consideration. By the way, I applaud you, Mr. Burson, for even having a rule in the first place, which avoids a seat of the pants judgment every moment on what the the quote penalties unquote should be. So I appreciate that. I think it's time to revise it, and thank you for your summary.
I will tell you, in 2006, when I came here and reviewed the cases, that's what it looked like to me, that there was a bit of a dark board and see where it landed thing, and I was not comfortable doing that, because I know at some time somebody will take you to task before a judge, and you're going to have some type of methodology on how you got there.
Thank you, Mr. Burson.
All right. Any further discussion?
Mr. Chair, may I presume to ask you a question, and
sure,
whether you have any preference here?
If you
don't want to answer that, I'll make a motion.
I appreciate your question. I had the same thing actually in my notes. Why is there not a financial penalty here? But after hearing the explanation, I get it. I get why we... Why,
Mr. Chair, just to get the issue on the table, I will move approval of the default final order involving Mr. Rick Scholl from the City of St. Helens, item number 19-187 on our November 6th agenda.
Okay. So moved to approve the default order. Any discussion on the motion?
You can hold it too.
No, that was Topaz.
Okay, that's right. All right, hearing none, roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Sartoon?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Lindsay?
Aye.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Chair Sosa?
Aye.
Motion passed, 7-0.
Item 33, Brett Webb. Looks similar.
Chair Sosa, Commissioners, as with the prior case, this is a default final order for Brett Webb, Commissioner with the Port of Port Orford. The Commission earlier in this meeting approved stipulated final orders for three of the other four commissioners at a prior meeting, it approved a stipulated order for the lots of the commissioners. We did, of course, after the commission made its findings, preliminary findings of violation, provided Mr. Webb with the notices and etc. He did not request a hearing and did not respond when we reached out to see if he was interested in negotiating a stipulated order. The default order in your meeting books provides he will receive a letter of education similar to what was provided the other commissioners.
Thank you, Ms. Myers. Any questions?
Mr. Chair, I will demur from asking the same questions I asked last time and instead will make a motion to approve the default final order involving Mr. Brett Webb from the Port of Orford, Port Orford, item number 19-284 on the November 6th agenda.
Thank you, Commissioner Christen. Any discussion on this one? Roll call vote.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
Commissioner Sartoon? Commissioner Sartoon?
Sorry, I was on mute. Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Lindsay?
Aye.
Chair Sosa?
Aye.
Motion passed 7-0.
All right, our last action item of the day is going to be 34. Attorney Marquez.
Okay. Chair Sosa, Commissioners. This is Diane Gould. Trini Marquez is a city councilor for the city of Dayton, and as such, she was required to file an SEI with the commission on or before April 15th of 2018, 2019, and 2020. She did not timely file those statements of economic interest and accumulated large civil penalties totaling $4,450. Despite numerous notices and phone contacts, Ms. Marquez has failed to request mitigation or agree to a settlement proposal, which was offered for a letter of education and a reduction of 90% of the overdue civil penalties. According to the City of Dayton's website, Ms. Marquez continues to serve on the City Council. The default final order is in your meeting book for approval, $4,450.
Thank you, Ms. Cool. Any questions?
Mr. Chair, hearing none,
I
will
make a quick comment, please, for Mr. Lindsay. Thank you for volunteering, Mr. Lindsay, for filing an SEI next year. I don't know if you realize that you become an SEI filer. I know you were as a legislator an SEI filer, so you'll be back at it. But it's easier to do now. You can do it online. So.
Right, actually, I just sent you an email to
probably
to follow up and make sure I'm compliant with everything as well.
was a picture of that bowl in that email?
Mr. Lindsay, we would look forward to the chance to put you under oath before us in the future.
Anyway, sorry to interrupt.
No, Mr. Chair, I will move that we approve the default final order involving Ms. Trini Marquez from the City of Dayton, item 20-141 on the November 6th agenda.
So moved. Any discussion? Roll call vote.
Commissioner Lindsay.
Aye.
Commissioner Mason.
Aye.
Commissioner Sartoon.
Aye.
Commissioner Starr.
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards.
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum.
Aye.
Chair Sosa.
Aye.
Motion passed 7-0.
All right. Very good. So, moving along then to items 41 and 42, correspondence, staff advice. Hopefully everyone's had an opportunity to peruse those. And if anyone have any questions on those or want to discuss those?
Just for the record, Mr. Chair, those did not require our action.
Correct. Yep, they're just there for informational purposes.
Thank you.
All right then, so item 43, discussion of upcoming executive director review at December meeting.
Ms. Lutz.
So next week, Ron will hopefully be completing his self-evaluation. And when that is done, I'll be sending it all on to you with a form for your own evaluation.
you'll return those completed evaluations to me, and I will compile them, and then the chair will get that compilation. Excuse me. And you'll it will be distributed back to you at some point, and you will may use that as part of the oral evaluation at the commission's next meeting in December.
Okay. Thank you.
So hey. I just had a couple things.
Yes.
So next week, first of all, there's a holiday in the middle of it, and then Thursday, Friday, I have to take my wife over and try to find a bolo for her. So I'm not too sure it's going to happen next week.
Okay.
I just want to be kind of clear about that.
We will get it.
I will give it to you as soon as I can. So
got it.
Well,
and then second of all, this is the first time in a very long time that the state of Oregon has approved another step in the merit increases for all employees across the state, which includes me. And so this one will include an ask for a merit increase. So just to be clear. So we haven't done that in the past because there just weren't any available to me, but there is one available to me at this time.
Okay.
So just a little different. But I will get it to you as soon as I can. But it may not be by the end of next week.
Okay. Got it. All right. Item 44, discussion of election of chair and vice chair at the December meeting. Ron, do you want to take that or should I?
Sure, I can take that. So statute requires that this commission has an election each year of a chair and vice chair. And so it's always, in fact, it actually says in statute the last meeting of the year. That meeting will be December 18th. Now, as you know, there are quite a few, in fact, there's four positions that are up for new folks coming in the first 6 months of 2021. Now, you also may be aware that one of the legislative concepts that we asked the governor for, and we're actually having that final discussion, I believe on the 18th is when it's scheduled, on our concepts, on what she will bring forward for us, because we are required to go through the governor for our concepts. One of those is to allow commissioners to have two terms if they desire, and if they're approved, of course, you know, confirmed by the Senate. So my advice to you is, even though somebody may not look like they have the whole year, that may change. And so the four people that are up, it's still up to you whether you want to run again or not. But we will be asking the governor for an emergency clause on that bill. If it passes, then I believe that those four may have a chance of asking to be confirmed to have a second term. So I guess my advice is folks that are thinking about running for chair or vice chair, kind of keep that in mind, because if you do want to do that and you want to re-up, that opportunity may come about. We also are getting down, this is a little bit part of the director's report, we're getting down to the end of our audit, and one of the things that the auditors have talked to me about is, I don't have a final report yet, they're talking about that in January. But one of the things is to have commissioners be able to serve more than one term. The Secretary of State's Audit Division has determined that that's a bit restrictive for the commission, too. And so, in other words, that bill may have a little bit more behind it than just us coming forward saying that we want it. So, anyway, this is a vote that is taken in public session. The nominations are opened up, and we have a vote, and it's always been the most that got the votes, or do they have to have five votes, Virginia?
I'm sorry. What?
I was not listening.
Oh, the
today is not much different than the other day. So my question is
on the
vote, does somebody have to secure 5 votes, or can they just secure the majority of the commissioners available at that meeting? I think they have to have 5 votes. Do you know anything?
What are we voting on?
Chair and vice chair.
I would say 5 votes because the rules say any affirmative action you take at all has to be by 5 votes.
Okay.
So
yeah.
I'd include that.
So.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's what's going to happen at the December meeting. Okay. So.
And I just want to emphasize that no one will be mailing in their votes. That everyone's voting live here. Okay?
So, live or virtually.
Or virtually.
So
we will know on that day.
I will tell you that it has not been the practice of the commission for folks to do more than a term, but in recent years, but that has happened in the past, and there is nothing in statute that prevents that. So I just throw that out because some people think if they already have been in one, they can't do it again. So anyway.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Parsons. Mm-hmm. So item 45, Planner's Report.
All right. Okay. All right, Chair Sosa and Commissioners. In your meeting materials, you will find a training report that reflects the training that took place since the last commission meeting, as well as the November and December webinar calendars for our monthly webinars. So training continues to be conducted via the virtual platform, and Ducky's onboarding is still going very well. She has been successfully providing training sessions covering Oregon Government Ethics Laws, Chapter 244, on her own. Earlier this week, I provided a training session at our first conference since COVID hit. That was for the Oregon Association of School Business Officials. The conference was held virtually. And there were 51 persons in attendance in that training session out of 170 conference attendees. So that was a pretty good turnout. And it was really interesting to conduct a training in which you could actually see your audience members, because thus far our trainings have been just audio. We've just been hearing them. So it was nice to see faces again. Our first in-person training, I don't know if you remember at the last commission meeting, I reported that we were going to have that on November 6th. That was actually canceled again for a reschedule. But on a brighter note, the DASH Enterprise Goods and Services Convention was rescheduled for May of 2021. So hopefully by then things will go through. In addition, Becky worked with the Oregon Liquor Control Commission and established a series of training sessions for them. OLCC investigators have a requirement that they have to have 1 hour of ethics training as part of their certifications, and so we are working with them to establish an ongoing training session with them as well. Incidentally, the training sessions that were established with them were not just for an hour, they were for an hour and a half. So they're getting an extra half an hour for that. As an update, one of our virtual training vendors will be changing from iLearn Oregon to Workday Learning. So everything is switching to Workday. And in the process, I have been attending meetings and working to transition from iLearn to Workday. Part of that transition will include converting our iLearn courses to Workday courses or to the Workday Learning platform. And so they have established a timeline for those stages as far as from project planning to testing it out to actually going live. And the go live date is scheduled for June of 2021. So they're wanting to get it established and going live before the end of the biennium. So other than that, there are no additional updates.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for continuing on, and this is really, really important work despite everything happening in our world. Really appreciate it.
Mr. Chair, one quick question and comment. This would be roughly the time of year if we were in a normal cycle when it might make sense for Monica or anybody to appear and talk with the Oregon Capital Club, as the name, as a bad name is for the organization of professional lobbyists in this state who must comply with our rules, regulations, and laws. I don't know if that's necessary this year because it's been interesting to me, for me, a farmer lobbyist, to note that we don't have that many problems of the sort coming to our attention, which doesn't mean there won't be any, but that's a possibility at the annual meeting if we want to, if that might be conducted virtually, Monica.
Okay.
You've been there before, so that's one option between now and January.
Okay. Thank you.
And I'll check into it on your and let you know what I find out, and maybe nothing. There may be no interest this year because of the awareness of what the procedures are. So, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, and last but not least, the executive director report.
Okay. So, again, I'd like to report that the current budget, we're doing very well at it. We're projecting a surplus now of upwards of $194,000. And, you know, the last time it was like $68,000. So, I'm a little cautious on the 194, but I know that we are trending up quite a bit. I think that DAS may have gave us a little credit in some places that I'm not as comfortable with. But so if in December it comes down, don't freak out. But I think that I think we're doing very well on our current budget. So there really hasn't been any reduction in funds coming into us. We have had some more expenses because of COVID. And it's basically just hardware. We have asked, because there are some relief funds for COVID, to get some money back for those purchases, and we should be hearing that soon, whether they qualify to get some of that money back from the money that the federal government has supplied to us, to the state itself. So I think I talked last time, we're still planning on using some of our reserves in the next budget. So even though our total requested budget has gone up, we will not be gathering that much as much revenue. So we like to use those savings so the people's assessments don't go up as high. I will tell you that you might have saw where the revenue forecast came out for the next biennium, and it was quite a bit better than what was being kind of predicted out there. They were predicting about a $4 billion gap, but it's about an $800 million gap. They found that a lot of the folks that have been affected by COVID, let's just say, don't contribute as much into the general fund as they once thought. So I think the state's a little healthier than it was, but we're also cautious about kind of these forecasts. It can be pretty dynamic. But I still want to put in here that we probably should be ready where we may get swept, some of our savings may get swept into the general fund. And so I think that possibility is still out there. But again, we'll see kind of how the subsequent forecasts go. So I didn't put in on the budget side the 21-23 budget because the governor hasn't come out with hers yet. But by the December meeting, we will have that budget. And so the only thing I've heard that right now, if they've looked at our budget, any reductions in our budget is just what they normally give everybody else. In other words, one of them is like DAS. They've asked for, you know, a higher amount, and really what they're being given is a lower amount. So originally they put in our budget a higher amount to pay DAS, and they're taking that money away because we won't need that much money to pay DAS because they're not going to get all of their asks that they've had. So they have not reduced any programs in the agency that I know of yet. So I expect to see a governor's budget that's pretty close to what we requested in August.
And Mr. Chair, just for the record, Mr. Burson, the governor's budget, recommended budget for 21-23 by law must be produced by December 1.
Yes, she'll have that out December 1st, and so you'll all know what that is at the next meeting,
right.
And we'll have a copy of it for you.
Right. Thank you.
Okay. Because we'll start putting that book together to get ready. Because then the next step, of course, is to take that governor's budget to the legislature and try to get them to approve that.
Right.
So I still want to talk about SEI filers. You know, I know you had a few of them in the meeting today, but I mean, we're down to two filers out there that haven't filed their SEI. So that's pretty impressive for folks that have been around
as long as we have, where we've seen years where, I mean, literally it's hundreds, if not thousands. And even this year with third-party candidates coming in that were not in the general election, it is not a big amount of people that have not filed their SEI. So those SEIs are out there on the website. People can view them at any time that they want to, at no cost to them. So moving on the audit, really the big news is they're talking about a completion date of January of 21. But from what I've seen that they've come out with, really their suggestions are mostly suggestions that the legislature would have to change statute out there. And like we talked about the one today where increasing the terms for commissioners. We also have one which they, I was kind of surprised they didn't know this, but we have an LC out there to extend our preliminary view, and they also thought that was a good idea in their preliminary findings right now. So hang in there. We're getting close to getting this audit done. I'm hoping that they actually do finish the audit and publish this audit, even though we've had a change of Secretary of State, because I think it's important. For lack of a better phrase, they've been in our kitchen for about a year and a half looking to see, because just to be clear, this is a performance audit. It's not a financial audit. So it's basically, how are we operating this agency? Are we doing everything we can to give public officials the best chance of operating ethically and giving the public the best chance of holding their public officials to an ethical standard? And so that's a big pull. And, this staff has been, has worked very hard to provide them with a lot of information. And I know you folks have all been contacted. And so this was a big thing. So I really hope here at the end that we actually get this audit out, because I think it's important to tell the people of Oregon just how much work we are doing here. And so, anyway.
Mr. Chair, I would just add a quick comment about Mr. Burson. To my knowledge, this audit was not driven by complaints.
No.
And sometimes, in my experience for years around here, some audits are in fact driven by complaints. This was not one of those. It's a performance audit, different than a complaint-driven audit.
Right.
Thank you.
So the only thing that I know of right now where there's been any concern on their part is us getting the public official guide out, and we were already in the midst of getting that done. So anyway, I don't want any surprises for you folks. It's preliminary right now. They've talked to us about some things, but that audit should be out in January. Okay, so by the way, nobody so far has gotten COVID inside the office. So again, we've really tried to work hard in this building to try to keep it out of this building. The next bullet point, I just can't emphasize this enough. For folks that have been here, James Rassen took us to the Court of Appeals. He was a fellow that was brought in to run EWEB, which is the Education Benefits Board. So he would have been the person that decided on all the teachers in the state what kind of insurance they would get. And he tended to take advantage of those opportunities from insurance companies to get his business. So he got to attend a lot of, let's say, Blazer games and things like this. So the significant part was Mr. Rassen decided, even though he never participated with the commission, he never once addressed the commission, and so he never created a record. The Court of Appeals, it was heard. His attorney was arguing that they should hear a new record now of Mr. Rassen's. The Court of Appeals had nothing to do with that. They affirmed this without an opinion. So it could go to the Supreme Court, but I've never seen an example where the Supreme Court's taken up an AWOP case, because, I'm not sure they do. So there will be a final order from Mr. Rassen What's that?
Yeah, a final judgment in about 2 months, because he's got 60 days.
Right. But this is really good news. This is, in all the years, I've been here since six, this is the first time we've been at the Court of Appeals, and we won. So
it is good.
Especially, like I say, Mr. Rasmussen never participated in the process with the commission itself, and should not be rewarded for not doing that. And I already talked about in the December meeting, we should have the governor's budget, and our legislative concepts should have word from the governor's office what's going to go forward. I have a meeting on the 18th with the governor's office for kind of a final push on the LCs, but they'll make that decision, and we'll have that information at the December meeting. And that's all I have, sir.
Okay. All right. Any questions from any commissioners in regard to the executive director's report? All right. Well, hearing none, that is all we have.
Can I just say one other thing? Amy, I really appreciate all the time working with you.
Yeah.
I look forward to working with you, Josh. And so there'll be a golf clap for you at some time, Josh, when you leave. it's not today. So that was for Amy. You have been wonderful to work with. I mean, you're a brilliant person. You've just helped us in all kinds of ways. And I mean, I look at the reports that are written now and the competency inside that. It's really fantastic. And so that influence that you brought, it'll last here at the commission. So I just want to thank you personally for all the help that you've given me over the years. And DOJ is lucky to have you. So I really appreciate it.
And it has been such an honor and privilege to work with the commission. Every single person, you have a small agency. It's incredible what you guys accomplish and how you proactively help people to comply with the law. I think it's probably unusual for respondents to come in here and be so nervous and be thanking the investigators, the training, the investigators, you, Ron, your leadership, the commission, how thoughtful they are and respectful they are to people. I've been really, really fortunate to be able to do this with you.
Yeah, so, you know, I know we'll see each other and I'll hear from you, but congratulations on the new position. I can say Oregon and DOJ are lucky to have you in there. So,
absolutely. Mr. Chair, let me just inform Josh, you got a tough act to follow, Josh.
All right.
Josh is a smart guy.
Yeah. Well, and Amy, I just want to echo everything Ron said, and congratulations on this next step in your career. And to Josh and to Sean, welcome aboard to both of you. We're very glad to have both of you with us, and look forward to seeing everybody in December. Between now and then, please, everyone, stay safe.
Have a good holiday.
Have a great Thanksgiving, and we'll see you then.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all.